You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Card.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
What is up, Packers fans? We're coming to you a day after a playoff clinching Sunday for the Green Bay Packers. It was clinched before our game even started, so it was kind of a formality to even play the game. But we played it. We won. It was ugly, but we won anyway, so who cares? I am Brian Fonferri, your host, and with me I have Dusty Evely.
Hey.
Hey. How you doing, Dusty?
I'm good, man. You know, I just came back from seeing Star Wars. Christmas is around the corner. I'm ready and raring to go, man. I'm in a good mood.
Awesome. Awesome. And we do not have Jordan with us this week. Something about spending a night with his brother for Christmas and weird junk like that. So in his stead, we have grandson of legendary left guard Fuzzy Thurston, Fred Thurston, with us. Fred, how you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
I am good. Just great. Absolutely fantastic. All right, I suppose we should get right to the football, and Fred, you're our guest, we'll let you kick it off. Give us one negative from Sunday and one positive.
All right, well, I'll start off with a negative because, it'll ease the pain a little bit, I guess. My negative, and continues to be a negative, unfortunately, for this team, is Devontae, I dropped too many balls, Adams. Again, drops. 5 catches, 8 targets, 32 yards. Not the kind of guy we're looking for. We've kind of put this number one role onto him, and I don't think he's ready. I think it's still maybe a year too early, and he can't handle it. And I think that we see that in the way that he's playing and the fact that he can't hold on to the ball. I think his nerves are there, and I hope that we can get through the rest of the season, and then maybe next year he'll progress. But I think it's just too much on the guy right now, and he's just not playing up to his potential, at least the potential that we think he has. As for my positive, I'm going to go to another receiver, a guy who I love dearly, Jared Aberderis, or as Barbara would have called him, Jared Aberdis. One of my favorite guys coming out of Wisconsin. I was actually in school at Wisconsin when he was there. Love him. Not a huge day. 3 catches on 3 targets, 33 yards, so one more than Mr. Number One. And just more time on the field. You know, he got to see a lot more plays, 25 or so plays, and along with a blessing from Aaron Rodgers after the game, which to me is all I ever need to hear. Mm-hmm. And for that reason alone, I'm taking I call him Abracadabra, so I'm just going to call him Abracadabra. But to me, the positive Abracadabra, seeing more field time, getting out there and showing everybody what he's capable of and the fact that he's injury-free still.
Yeah, I said it yesterday and said it today that Abracadabra should absolutely be the number 3 option in this receiving core. He has just proven so much more than Devontae Adams has this year. And very happy to see the quarterback come out and give him a plug.
Definitely.
All right. Mine. I'll start with the negative, and it's the defense from quarter 1 to quarter 3. I'll give him a little bit of a pass for quarter 1, because they did have those two picks, including a pick six, so they at least made some plays. They did give up a little bit too much yardage for my taste in that time. It was really quarter two and three where they just got gashed continuously, and you know, the Raiders were almost moving the ball at will. It was just really ugly. Latavius Murray slipping through arm tackles like they were nothing. David Carr throwing the ball anywhere he wanted to and beating us. And I know part of it was the field condition. You know, I saw several defensive backs falling over. They also bailed us out a few times. I think Amari Cooper had a big catch that might have gone for a touchdown had he not just fallen over. So it was just ugly, and exactly why I'm not a fan of Dom Capers in those first three quarters. It just was ugly. We gave up all 20 of our points in quarters two and three. Just ugly. But on the flip side, my positive is quarter four defense, where I don't know what it is with this football team that we just cannot put together good football consistently in quarters one through three. We wait until quarter four, and the defense waited until quarter four, and to their credit, they absolutely shut down the Raiders in quarter four. They weren't able to move the ball at all, and our offense was just giving the Raiders shot after shot after shot to come back and win this game, but our defense was very stingy and totally bailed them out. So, you know, I complain about this defense a lot, and complained a lot about defense in quarters one through three. I had nothing to complain about in quarter four. They were fantastic. I got through a chat about the defense without going on a rant and without cursing Dom Capers' name. I'm really proud of myself.
That was good. You know what? You made really good strategy. You talked to your therapist about that. That's really impressive.
I was going to say, the therapy really is helping. My goodness.
All
right, Dusty. Dusty, what you got?
First of all, just bring up one more point about the defense. You talked about the second and third quarter defense. Like, the killer that just was absolutely terrible was the following the Starks fumble, like a minute and a half left in the half at their own 21, four-play drive, Raiders got a touchdown to bring it within one. Like, just mm-hmm. ugly, ugly defense in a very big moment of the game. That was rough to see. Actually seeing if that was going to bring a rant out of you. You seem quiet. You seem good. So I'll keep moving on.
It's the therapy, man. I've learned how to block out negative thoughts.
Serenity now. Serenity now. Yeah. I'll go with, I'll do what Fred did. I'll do negative first. I'll do positive after. We'll soften the blow. Negative for me. I don't have like a specific thing. Just the offense still just seems off. They had 97 yards in the first half. They made some adjustments in the second half that'll actually be my positive. So that was really good to see. But the negative, like they just, when they're bad, they're bad. And they were, I mean, part of that was Devontae Adams missing balls, but they just don't look in sync. And at this point in the season, for a playoff team, which again, awesome, man, they're 10-4. They've clinched the playoff spot. That's great. But at this point in the season, this is when you expect to see them rounding into form, and they haven't really done that. I praised the offense last week. They did some things better, and I didn't really see a whole lot of that carry over this week. I did see some of it carry over. That'll be my positive. Every time this happens, I get very, very excited. So they had a lot of Cobb in the backfield. Cobb didn't have a huge game. See, I have a stat in front of me. Like 5 catches for 40 yards, 4 rushes for 18 yards. So not a huge day. But it just shows some of the versatility that he brings to that team. They were able to line him up in the backfield. They were able to go 3-4 wide, which to Fred's point is why Everdarius was able to get on the field so much. He was on for 27 snaps, which was awesome. And it just being able to line Cobb up back there really gives them versatility that they need. They did that a ton in the second half, 196 yards in the second half. They put up 16 in the second half. They looked better. It was still ugly. But they're actually moving the ball, and just seeing that adjustment, that was good. It was something good to see. Now, whether or not they can piggyback off of that and do more of that going forward, I don't know. I'm hesitant to be too optimistic because I was really optimistic after last week, and they came out looking terrible this week. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. there was just like it seems like every other game, or pretty much every other game except for the Broncos game that I've seen this year, there was enough positive there to trick me into thinking that, well, you know, one or two tweaks away, like next week they'll be fine. And I saw some of that this week, and I hope that carries over. I don't know if it will, but that's no. So it's, I guess that's my positive, but then I also kind of sound a little like dour about it. So I don't know.
Your eternal optimism with this offense this year has been an absolute inspiration to me.
Thank you.
It is all that allows me to sleep at night. I won't lie.
So I don't sleep at night, I think, because I'm trying to talk myself into this offense turning it around. So.
There you go.
I love it. All right, before we move on to next week, one more topic to cover. A lot has been made today of Aaron Rodgers' post-game interview, and if you haven't watched it, go check it out. He just looks completely defeated. He looks sullen. He just looked really angry at how things have been going. And Twitter, believe it or not, people on Twitter are making a bigger deal of it than it really is.
No.
For such a calm, level-headed social media. Twitter.com, yeah.
That can't be right.
No way.
I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. they were suggesting that, you know, and it's absurd to me. They were suggesting that Rodgers came out angry after the game because he was resentful toward Mike McCarthy for demoting Tom Clements, and just, I don't know, any conspiracy you can think of and any reason fans can think of to call him childish, and it drives me nuts. Our fan base does not realize how lucky we are. So you guys watched the post-game interview. What did you make of it? Do you think it's a big deal? Do you think it's nothing? Anywhere in between? Dusty, you can start.
I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, it's a little odd in that, I mean, for his entire career, he's been kind of jokey. I don't want to say too jokey. Like he kind of cracks jokes, but he's very deadpan about it. A great sense of humor to him. He had one of those moments in the in his postgame thing when they asked about the interception. He said, "Well, I was trying to throw it to Charles Woodson, and I just underthrew it a little bit." A great line, very, very funny, but it is odd he's done that. Like, this isn't the first time. It was just fantastic. It's not the first time this season that he's had post-game interviews where he's been kind of short and surly, and I haven't seen this from him for this long since he's been here. Like, maybe time or two here and there, but for the most part, he's a pretty good-natured guy. So it is a little odd to see this coming from him. It doesn't really concern me. I don't really care. They didn't look good in the first half. They looked better in the second half, but he still didn't have a great game. They had guys dropping passes. They've had issues with the offense all year. I've had bad days at the office as well. So I don't know. I get it. I don't necessarily want to see this become a habit, but it doesn't really bother me that much.
All right. Fred, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to be upset with the way he acted. I mean, doesn't he deserve to act that way? I mean, would we have been happier if he would have came dancing out and, you know, lighting firecrackers and saying, "Oh yeah, everyone, look at we won the game, but we were terrible." Like, you know, he's going to be upset. He's a competitor.
I would have liked that.
I would have enjoyed it. Yeah, you know, I mean, a little circus type act would have been nice and maybe brought everyone a couple smiles, but you know, the truth is this team is not looked the way that we're accustomed to seeing them. And he's frustrated because he wants to win and he wants to play at a high level. And when the team's not playing that way or the offense is not performing that way, it's tough on him. I mean, I would be just as upset. And I think any one of these fans are just as upset. So to get upset that Aaron Rodgers is upset, I'm going to say upset one more time. Upset, but for them to be upset about it, I mean, you just can't be. He has every right to be discouraged and to be short and to have that bit of anger towards it because we are playing like crap a little bit. So, you know, he has every right to be upset, and I'm cool with it, and let's start playing better, and then we won't have to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he mentioned the word, must have been 10 times in that conference, execution, or some form of the word execute. He's sick to death of this offense failing to move the ball. He's been part of some historically good offenses here in Green Bay. And he's gone through stretches in his career where he's struggled, but he has never been through this. He's never been part of a not very good offense. And it's frustrating, and especially after last week when things had started to look up, you know, players looked like they were turning things around. We found a rhythm against a good defense, and then we came out flat this week and took a huge step back. That's got to be frustrating. I don't think it has anything to do with Tom Clemens being demoted, because Aaron Rodgers is an adult and a professional, and he's not that petty. So, no, I'm not bothered by it. I don't think it was a big deal at all. I'm glad we all agree, but it did have to be addressed because, like I said, believe it or not, Twitter made a big deal out of it.
Well, and Fred, to your point, just to add on one more thing, you talked about how we don't want them running out and being all happy and everything. And that's, I mean, that kind of talks to, like, they can't win, right? If he came out, you know, like McCarthy normally does, not that everything's okay, but he's usually pretty straight, just kind of very straight-laced and says, oh, well, you know, we need to do this and do that, and I thought we performed okay. Like, that pisses people off. If you're pretending everything's okay, so then someone comes out and says, well, things aren't going that great, and then you get mad at them for that as well. Like, you can't, there's some of these situations, yeah, as an athlete post-game interviews, like, you, no matter which way he went, someone was going to be mad at him. You can't win in some of those situations.
Exactly. If he would have came out and been happy, people would have said, why is he so happy? He should be upset. He comes out upset, people are, you know, it's just an unfortunate thing. But the thing with Aaron Rodgers is he will silence the critics when he needs to silence the critics. And he will do that on the field, and he's shown even to do it off the field.
Yeah, you see proof. Those games where he comes out when the offense didn't particularly run well and he looks optimistic, everybody on Twitter jumps out and says he's not a gamer, he's not competitive, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't have that it factor to his charisma, whatever have you. And then he comes out on games like this and, oh, he's not a real leader. He comes out and just sulks and he's just mad at the coach and he's going to tear apart this locker room. It's like, dude, I spent a lot of time being negative on Twitter yesterday, but at the end of the day, we have the best quarterback in the NFL right after having Brett Favre, who was the best quarterback in the NFL for a long time. We're so spoiled. Shut up.
Well, and we're complaining about this after a win that took us to 10-4, and we finished the playoff spot and have a really good chance to take the win. I mean, it's like you said, I said something about that yesterday, and someone said, I think that's 7 straight years of the playoff berth. The Bears have 7 in the past 24 years. So, like, complaining, just it's ridiculous. I get it. I do it. It's frustrating to watch a team with this much talent perform the way they have, but holy crap, dude, like, we're sitting 10-4. Like, we're complaining about being 10-4. Like, a lot of fan bases would, like, literally drag you out of the street and kill you, like, kill hundreds of people. Like, a Browns fan would literally murder and eat a family to have a run like this, and we're complaining about it, so.
Well, to be fair, I don't know if Browns fans know what the playoffs are anymore. But, I mean, I do agree. I had to go there. You know, it's fair. But if you listen to McCarthy's and John Kuhn and Aaron Rodgers, all of them said in their post game, listen, we're 10-4. We're in the playoffs. Let's be happy with that. Let's be, you know, proud of the fact that we're in there. Like, why are we consistently trying to find reasons to be hating on the Packers? Like, we're in it. Like, let's do it. You know, if it's not pretty, it's not pretty, but a W is a W. And guess what? At the end of the season, if we have that Super Bowl trophy, no one's going to look back and be like, well, that Oakland game was kind of crappy to watch. Like, no, they're going to look back and be like, that was a W, another win. Like, I just, it's just another case of us extracting way too much out of nothing, and
yeah,
it is what it is.
Yeah, and one more thing, not to say that we are a Super Bowl team, that we are the best or anything like that, but championship quality teams win games where they perform poorly. There's no championship
Amen.
Team that's going to go, nobody's going to go 17-0 and, sorry, 16-0 and then all the way through to the Super Bowl. It doesn't happen. And, you know, Panther fans, you can listen right now. It's not going to happen.
Ain't going to happen.
Ain't going to happen.
It ain't.
You know, it's just not. And, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, the Patriots had a few games where they did not play well last year, and they won some of them. It's what championship teams do. So let's all take a breath and relax and move on. And we'll talk to the ghost of games that are yet to come. Let's move on to the Cardinals. And we have got with us Jesse Reynolds of RevengeOfTheBirds.com, the SB Nation blog. Jesse, how you doing?
Good. How you?
We are pretty good. We've got our ranting out of the way. I
glad
can't
to hear
say that. There will be more. We all know there will be. All right. So, Jesse, you got to be feeling pretty good coming off of yet another win.
Bittersweet. If you just read the news, found out Tyrann Mathieu had tore his ACL and was out for the season. Probably our, you know, best defender. You know, I guess you would say for Packers fans, you know, our Charles Woodson of the secondary. So that was a pretty big blow, despite the win.
All right. What's the outlook for your defense coming off of that injury?
I have to be honest. I'm a little nervous because while you know, Patrick Peterson has been playing fantastic. I'd probably say the second best cornerback behind, you know, Norman out in, for the Panthers. You know, we don't really have a safety as versatile. Rashad Johnson was injured and didn't play last game. And he, you know, had Tyrann Mathieu for 5 interceptions. But so if we get him back, we'll be all right. But we don't have somebody with that kind of range, and we can't, you know, keep as many DBs out there. So, guys, you know, against guys like Rodgers, I'm a little nervous, you know, we're going to get picked apart in the middle.
Yeah, well, we thought we were going to pick the Raiders apart in the middle, and we barely even tried, so you can sleep easy.
We'll see.
All right, so we covered Tyrann Mathieu, here for known as the Honey Badger. Talk a little bit about Carson Palmer and the way he's leading this offense. I think it's fair to put him in the MVP conversation. What about you?
Yeah, I'd actually probably put him second behind Newton. And the only reason I think you can make an argument for why Palmer is above Newton is the strength, you know, the strength of schedule. I think the NFC West is a little bit tougher than the NFC South this year. So I think if you, you know, kind of match it up, the competition, I think, you know, Carson Palmer's done pretty well. But Newton's got 40 touchdowns, you know, 33 in the air, 7 rushing, like 4,000 yards combined. I mean, he's a monster. So, but I think, you know, anybody who was watching the Cardinals last year saw Palmer was going to emerge into this guy. Before he got injured, you know, the Cardinals were 6-0. They stumbled into the playoffs with, you know, Ryan Lindley after Palmer went down. And so you could see that, you know, the offense was really good with him. Now, you know, we had, you know, running back, and so our rushing game looked better, and we improved the offensive line. So, you know, Palmer's had more protection and a better running game, and, you know, we see what he's put up, you know, 40 points on the Eagles last night. Pretty good victory for us.
Is there any secret formula to, I guess, slow down this offense? If you were going to have a meeting with Dom Capers, what would you tell him?
Well, hey, thank you for hosting me. I'm happy to be here.
It's Dom Capers. It's not that big of a compliment.
Yeah, it's still the NFL. But I guess I'm not as familiar with Capers as you guys are right now. You guys are pretty upset with him, huh?
Yeah, it's just the same old thing every year, and we're just tired of the game.
It comes back years.
Well, before the Eagles game, in regards to stopping the Cardinals defense, or offense, excuse me, you know, I would have said get him into third and shorts, because honestly, you know, against the Niners the other week, we had trouble on third and short, and, you know, weeks previous, we'd really struggled on, like, running in the end zone, when we lost to the Rams and to Pittsburgh is because we just couldn't run on third and short. Maybe that was cured with David Johnson, and it is a pretty huge day yesterday. So if we have that, you know, I'd say it's pretty tough. You know, it's pretty difficult because we have, you know, a myriad of options with Larry Fitzgerald, John Brown, Michael Floyd are all playing really well, and David Johnson can catch it. Andre Ellington's about to come back and be healthy after 3 or 4 weeks out. So, you know, I guess it really comes down to just, you know, get Carson Palmer out of the pocket. You know, he's an old man. He doesn't run well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, speaking of those running backs, we actually talked a little bit about the Cardinals earlier in the season when we were talking about potential playoff matchups, and we gushed a little bit about Chris Johnson, and we said, look, even if he were to get injured or just production fall off, you got David Johnson and you've got Andre Ellington. How thrilled are you with this running game?
Pretty thrilled. I mean, it's been a long time since we saw a good running back. We had, you know, Beanie Wells, who broke our hearts by just kind of falling off the face of the earth. And then Tim Hightower, who was, you know, did the same thing. So we haven't really had a good running game. I mean, we tried it with Edgerrin James, and, you know, even took some guy from the Cowboys who we'll not mention. So it's been a pretty bad spell without a good running back. So I really hope that he becomes that guy. But, you know, you don't know. It's like, you know, Andre Ellington looked great his rookie season, and now he can't stay on the field. So you never know with guys like that. I'm optimistic. I really hope we get a running back, but you just never know. I'm a Cardinals fan. You know, we're pessimists by nature, unlike you Packers fans over here with your 7-plus straight playoff seasons.
Well, somehow our fan base finds ways to be pessimistic anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Give me a score prediction for this game. What's going to happen?
I'd see a high-scoring game. Being the Cardinals homer that I am, I'm going to say Cardinals take it with 35-31. I think that lost Tyron and Matthew. You know, gives you guys some openings to score a lot of points against us in our, you know, inferior pass rush.
I'd actually take a huge moral victory in putting up 31 points. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see that very much.
Yep.
All right, Jesse, tell us about your website, what you're working on, and where we can find you on Twitter.
Well, I'm actually one of the weird ones. I don't have a Twitter, I know.
Oh, boy.
So you can follow our editor at Jess Rue. He's the editor for RevengeOfTheBirds.com. So if you ever you know, want to stop by and chat Cardinals, which I doubt any of you do, but next time we play each other, you can stop by and say, hey, and we can you know, exchange some words.
All right. Sounds good. Jesse, thank you for coming on.
All right, thank you guys.
Thanks, Jesse.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right. Not surprising to me at all that he picked the Cardinals. Not at all. There's every reason to.
You know what was surprising for me, though?
What's that?
Was that he actually talked about how bad their third down offense was and how they couldn't get into the end zone. And I was like, does he even watch our games?
Sounded really familiar.
Terrible.
Oh man, it might be one of the ugliest games of the year for two playoff teams going into this. It could get really ugly. All right, let's see. Let's talk about this game coming up. Fred, why don't you kick us off? What are you looking for this week?
I'm looking for a prayer. I'm. It's hard for me to go into this game with the way we've been playing. You will probably never, ever hear me say that the Packers won't win a game, and I'll stick with that. But I think it will be an extremely tough game, and I hope and pray that we can find that offense that we have all seen so many times, because I think that's the only way we're going to be able to contend with these guys. Arizona's first in total offense, third in passing, sixth in rushing. They're second in points per game. I mean, that's big, and we're not there. We're not even close to that. So to be able to match that, we're really going to have to come out and, you know, hopefully run, hopefully establish a run quick. But once again, they're fourth in rush defense, so that's scary. They are, however, 16th in pass defense. So I'd say, yeah, let's light them up, but I don't know if we can. I haven't seen that yet. But with the Honey Badger being out, you know, he's a top player. You know, he is
an all-around player, and when Jesse compared him to Woodson, that was the absolute perfect comparison because mm-hmm. he can play all positions. He is so versatile, 80 tackles, one sack, one forced fumble, five picks. You know, he's all over creating plays just like Woodson did for us. So with him out, I think that's a huge help for us. They still do have Patrick Peterson, who is one of the best, so we still have that. But I don't know. I think, like I said, if we could establish our offense, get something going, match their points, and then hopefully we have another fourth quarter defensive stand, maybe we come out with a win.
My hope for this game is that we can just start it at 0-0 in the fourth quarter. If we were to do that, yeah. I'm pretty sure yeah. we'd win 35-7.
Yeah.
It's those pesky quarters 1-3 that we just can't figure out. My hope for this game, though, the reason that I feel as optimistic as I do is where we're playing. And, you know, I'd always prefer to play in Lambeau, of course, especially against good teams, but we're finally going to have a dry field with no rain
yes.
and no wind. It's just going to be good conditions to play football in. And Rodgers has spent the last, it seems like, month and a half playing in pouring rain and high winds and soggy fields. It'll be nice to see what he can do when he can plant his feet and feel confident about where he's stepping. You know, this game looked like what I would play in eighth grade at recess, and like it was just so bad. People falling over, stepping in mud, it was disgusting. So playing on a clean field with no rain, I look forward to seeing what the offense can do then. And I'm definitely pulling some optimism from Dusty here on our offense. you give me the strength. You always do.
Thanks, Brian. I do what I can.
Defensively, I am very concerned that Carson Palmer's been so good this year, and he does deserve to be in the MVP talk, whether he wins it or not. And their running game has been so good. And we haven't really proven that we can play an entire game of good defense, and we haven't proven that we can stop the run and the pass in the same game. You know, even last week against the Cowboys, their passing game did nothing all day long, but they absolutely destroyed us in the running game. McFadden ran all over us. I'm very nervous that we're facing a team that can do both things. So, I don't know. Maybe it's just my overall lack of faith in this defense. I don't know. I'm worried about that. But offensively, I think this is as good a chance as any to turn things around. Dusty.
Yeah, I mean, all the things you said about the defense, I mean, that worries me to death. Watching what David Johnson did last game, like I was just watching him and I was already getting cold sweats, and he wasn't even playing the Packers yet. Like with the inside backers we got now with Jake Ryan getting a little more time, and he's raw. He's still not quite there yet, but he's better than what we've had. That could help a little bit, help keep that running game in check. Man, just the front seven needs to do work. They can be very good, but they can also be very inconsistent. So
mm-hmm.
if the front seven shows up and can shut down the run game, and that turns to the passing game, and like you said, Palmer's been very good this year. And to say that he should be in the MVP voting is that's not ill placed. Like he's got a very good case to beat out Newton. Even though Newton has been very good, he's picked up a lot lately. Like his first half stats were not good, but the thing that gives me hope, so I'm always looking for hope, is that if they can shut down or at least slow the running game, and that turns into Palmer, he's got some weapons. His interception percentage this year is 1.9, which is the lowest in his career besides last year, which he only made 6 starts before getting injured. But that 1.9 is a bit misleading in that it's not like he's throwing balls that can be intercepted. like at least 2-3 a game. He's just kind of chucking it up, kind of chucking it downfield and hoping his guy comes down with it. It almost reminds me of it's like Drew Brees with a better arm these days, where he's just kind of, well, someone's deep, I'm going to throw it and see if something happens. If the Packers can take advantage of that, and they got some ball hawks in that secondary, Palmer's going to throw 2-3 balls that could be interceptions, and all they got to do is hang on to them. If they can do that, which they have a better chance of doing if they can slow that running game, the more balls he throws, the more chance they have of picking one off. I feel good about it, but it all starts up front. If David Johnson and if Ellington's back this week, if they go off in the first half, like it's pretty much done. They need to – that front seven needs to show up and show up early, or else this could be a very, very long day.
Yeah, and you mentioned the throwing interceptable balls. I have to say something quick in defense of Aaron Rodgers. And I had a Twitter conversation with someone today or yesterday, I'm not sure, and he was really upset with the way Rodgers has been playing and kind of putting some of the onus on him and saying he's throwing these passes that are interceptable, missing some throws. Look, every quarterback in the league misses multiple throws every game. And
yeah.
Aaron's lucky enough that several of them do not get picked off, and it just does not help with the amount of drops, and it does not help with guys like Davante Adams and Jeff Janis running the wrong routes or going the way that Aaron does not believe that they should be going, and they just aren't on the same page with him. So while some of these missed throws that he's throwing aren't even missed throws, they're mistimed routes. Things like that. So, one more plea to lay off of Aaron Rodgers.
I said earlier about Palmer's interception percentage this year being one. It was 1.9%, and that's of his attempts. Aaron Rodgers for his career is at 1.6, and 1.9 is second lowest of Palmer's career. And that's without looking at. I brought this stat up before, but Football Outsiders does every year. They have the adjusted interceptions, where they basically take the interceptions that he threw, they add on ones that hit a defender in the hand that was dropped, and subtract ones that were tipped off of a receiver's hands. And Aaron Rodgers continually ranks lowest in that as well. I think his MVP year, what he threw, four picks. His adjusted interception rate that year was 2, because he threw no balls that could be intercepted that were not, and 2 of his interceptions were tipped. So, like, and I have not looked this up, he's in the, like, maybe number one in NFL history as far as interception percentage, if not there, like top 3. I need to look that up to be sure. But he's historically good at not throwing interceptions. And this year he's sitting at 1.2%. And that's with, I mean, I think of the Janis one this past week, where it looked like Janis, if not, it looked like he probably could have taken a hard cut in front. And if not, at least could have challenged that. And then the one where Davante Adams just stopped on. And that's 2 of his 6 interceptions right there. And all of a sudden he's down to 4, and that interception percentage is more like 1. So even on a year where he's been off, he's still been incredible as far as that goes, as far as throwing interceptions is concerned.
Having single digit interceptions for a quarterback who starts every game and plays every snap is such an underappreciated stat.
Yeah, he has 2 years with double-digit interceptions, and those double digits were 11 and 13. Like, so he's not throwing, like, those years he wasn't throwing 20 interceptions. He's thrown 7, 6, 8, 6, 5, and 6 were his single-digit interception years. Like, he's been – I don't want to overstate this, guys. Aaron Rodgers has been – he's been a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah, and I think we're so accustomed to him being so great. And, like, that's why this has become such an issue for people, and I don't understand why, but every year he's consistent with 30-plus and under 10 for interceptions. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. And yet we're sitting here saying he's having a down year and he's not playing. You know, really? Because I'm pretty sure I could probably say like 25 other teams would be more than happy to have him as their quarterback. I mean,
Probably more.
I mean, it's weird because we're all in a little bit of a shock of how we're playing, and we're all a little upset because we're not seeing you know, 40, 50 points being scored and everything like that. But yet, if you look at the stat lines, we're still getting W's. Aaron Rodgers is still putting up MVP-type numbers. And that's good enough for me. Like, I just – it's a weird situation where we're acting like we're this terrible team and we're barely going to make the playoffs and Aaron Rodgers' career is over. And, no, we're still 10-4. Aaron Rodgers is still doing the right stuff. Like, let's stay positive as much as we possibly can, because – otherwise, we're all going to look stupid because this is on radio. So,
man, and true. You know what? He hasn't thrown double-digit interceptions since 2010, and we're talking about a guy who's having a down year while having a 95.2 passer rating, 3,379 yards, 29 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions with 2 games.
What a downer!
My goodness! Yeah. What a disappointment!
We should bench him. We should bench him. Put Tolzien in.
I want to see what this Tolzien kid has.
Right. I honestly do see it on Twitter saying that Brett Hundley should get the start when we trade Aaron Rodgers in the offseason. It's just
to the Rams.
Madness.
I actually saw something that the Rams, that Aaron Rodgers wants to move to L.A. when the Rams relocate, and it was going to be Gurley and then like a huge package of draft picks.
Right.
Like just the most preposterous thing I've ever seen.
Those are the
they gave him the first round pick for every year until Aaron Rodgers dies. Even then, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Maybe every draft pick they have until Aaron Rodgers dies.
No, I remember the other people coming back, guys. It was Nick Foles was also coming back, so we'd also have Nick Foles. So
no.
Make that trade.
I'm sorry, but if you wanted us to take Nick Foles off your hand, you'd have to start giving us some first round picks. Goodness, rather go with Tolzien.
Those are the same people who still believe in Santa Claus, I believe, and probably eat Hot Pockets in their basement every day, and you know, just the basic things. I mean, because at what point do you think that's a legitimate discussion? Like, yeah, we're gonna get rid of Rodgers. We're gonna bring Nick Foles, who's so dynamite, and yeah, and we're gonna bring Gurley, even though we have Lacy. But whatever, you know, I guess they've got it figured out.
Why trade for Foles when, like, Vince Young is still sitting out there just for the taking,
that's true.
You know?
Yeah, we could bring Vic in, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Young already knows the playbook, so.
That's true.
All this joking aside, I still have not forgiven Ted Thompson for not pulling the trigger and trading for Sam Bradford this offseason. Now he's on the championship-bound Eagles, and they're just high-flying. Missed opportunity, am I right? He was the first overall pick.
It really is.
Rodgers wasn't the first overall pick, so Bradford's better.
But that just proves to Chip Kelly's genius, though. I mean, he was able to outsmart Ted Thompson and get Sam Bradford, so.
I went on a rant about him last week, and I have another.
I know, I'm trying to get you all riled up. I'm sorry.
We're only five minutes away from it. Oh, geez. All right, let's change the subject. All right, we talked about next week. Let's get our predictions in the bag. Fred, you will be picking in place of Jordan, who went 2-1 last week to improve to 6-6 since we started taking score. So, yeah, I mean, we might as well flip a coin for his picks, but instead we'll let you do it, Fred. What's your prediction for this game?
For this game, I'm going 31-28 Pack.
All right. Dusty, what you got?
And that's just because I'll never root against the Pack, by the way.
Fair.
I'm going to tone mine down from what I was thinking ahead of time. I'm actually going to go Packers 27-24.
All right. I think I'm going to have a little change of heart. Before the show, I was thinking Cardinals. I just find it so hard to predict against the Packers. And I don't know, playing on a nice field with positive elements and no Honey Badger in the secondary, a secondary that's already not that good, and they're without Johnson at safety, too. I mean, I could throw 250 yards against DJ Swearinger. I mean, he's just not very good. He's a hard hitter, so he serves a purpose, but in coverage, he's a joke. So I'm going to switch it to Packers 27-23. Very close to Dusty, but that's the score I had written down before, and Dusty changed his, so I'm not changing mine.
That's fair.
All right. So we
have
three.
Good for you, Brian. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm really proud of him.
Really, it
really great strides today, Brian. It's really good.
My therapist. I don't know what I'm paying him, but I'm going to give him a raise.
Not with you're underpaying whatever it is.
Whatever it is. All right. On to the general NFL predictions. Your upset special. Dusty, kick us off.
Thinking San Diego over Oakland. This is actually, I call this the Brian special because it's the Thursday game this week and we're recording on Monday, so I can get that in.
All right.
I mean, we just saw Oakland. They can be, we talked about this last week. They have a talented team, but they're young and they can be very inconsistent. San Diego has an older team and they can also be very inconsistent. So it shows conclusively that age, as Aaliyah said, age ain't nothing but a number. And so I'm going to go with that. I like San Diego. They've been playing, they played better last week. They faced a string of tough defenses. Phillip Rivers just continues to get it done, or not continues because he's had some bad games, but he's able to get it done somewhat, even with the limited cast he has with like five of his receivers gone down for the year, whatever crazy number it is. But I mean, everyone talks about the Patriots because they're good, but the Chargers have just been absolutely ravaged at the wide receiver position by injury. So I think he's going to have a good game against this Oakland defense, going to roll into Oakland, beat him by at least 10. I'm looking forward to it. I've always been I always kind of like the Chargers for whatever reason. Actually, Oakland was like my second team growing up, so I don't know why I say that. But, yeah, San Diego.
All right. Fred, your upset pick.
All right, my upset. Who am I picking for again?
You're picking for Jordan.
Jordan. All right, well, I hope that we can be friends after this. I'm going to pick the New York Jets over the New England Patriots. And here's why. The reason why is because, one, it is at the Jets. That always helps. Two, they have Revis, who I think is kind of a voodoo type guy. And it seems like when he's there, teams come out of nowhere. And I just think the Jets are going to upset him. I just have this feeling. I'm probably going to be totally wrong, and if I am, I'm sorry, but, you know. I'm going to go with it and maybe shock the world.
You know,
rule number one on the podcast.
Does have a fantastic beard, so they do.
That was there.
You don't apologize to Jordan. That's like the first rule of the show. We never apologize to Jordan. So
okay, I'm not sorry, Jordan. So just get over it.
There you go.
Fred, a couple weeks ago, Jordan was looking for an easy point, and he picked the Patriots to beat the Eagles. So don't feel bad about this at all.
All right. I feel much better.
All right. Now, I saved my upset pick for last, and you'll soon see why. It's because I'm picking Washington over Philadelphia. And, yes, that does mean my weekly rant against Chip Kelly. I hate him so much. So much. Every week I say something to the effect of Chip Kelly, I can't stand him because he thinks he's smarter than everyone else in the NFL. Well, apparently I'm the only person he's actually smarter than because I'm the only person going out and picking his team to win a game. Thinking that maybe, just maybe, Philadelphia, who had won two in a row, could do the Packers a favor and go and beat Arizona and give us a legitimate chance at that two seed. No. Philly comes out and gets absolutely destroyed. And once again, the only thing talked about the entire game is how quickly Philadelphia gets back to the line of scrimmage. As if it's a positive stat to hold the ball for the least amount of time in NFL history. Give your defense a break. Give your offense a break. Let them breathe. My goodness. All right, having said that.
Is this the part where I come in and say again that I like Chip Kelly and I like Oregon and I wish me and Joey Harrington were best friends and blah, blah, blah? Is that time for this now?
This is where I remind you that you're an Oregon Ducks fan and Chip Kelly is only not the head coach there anymore because he ran away with his tail between his legs because he was about to be ripped down in disgrace.
And this is where I remind you that none of that bothers me.
All right, and this is the part where we move on. Okay, Washington over Philly. Man, we might as well just script the show every week. People are going to start wondering if they're listening to a rerun. No, I promise, this is new. This is fresh content, believe it or not. I did, you know, that air quotes thing with my fingers when I said fresh.
Sure, sure.
All right. Your lock, your guarantee of the week. Fred, kick us off.
I'm going to go with the Steelers over the Baltimore Ravens. I don't feel like I really need to explain this that much.
Matt Schaub. That's really all that needs to be said. Matt Schaub.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, Steelers offense is scary, and Baltimore has crawled into the same hole with San Francisco, and that's about it.
All right, I am going Denver over Cincinnati. Those who listen know that I live here in Denver this whole season. I'm a big fan of Brock Osweiler, and I feel so bad for the kid after this week's game. He had that offense humming in the first half, and then all of a sudden his receivers couldn't catch a ball, and their defense couldn't make a stop, and they just completely ruined what was a very good game for a young quarterback. And now fans here are reminding me an awful lot of Packer fans, and they're, after wishing and wishing for weeks that Brock Osweiler would take over, they're all calling for Peyton Manning again, as if he could possibly be better. The guy was just so bad in the first half of this season. He's done. Wow, I fit in two rants into this segment. That does not usually happen. I continue to impress myself.
Apparently, you, the therapist, doing as good a work as we thought he was.
No.
Yeah. You know, around this time of night, the therapy starts to wear off. That's all. That just means that it's bedtime. That's really all it is.
Sure.
I need to find my teddy bear and go to bed. All right. So, Denver over Cincy. I don't see Cincinnati getting a win here with A.J. McCarron. He's just not very good. Credit to him for beating the 49ers, I guess, but no, he's not going to do it against a really good Broncos defense. Dusty, who's your pick?
Taking Buffalo over Dallas. Games in Buffalo. I like that team. The NFL is just full of inconsistent teams. Inconsistent team. I like that defense. I like what the offense has done at times this year. When they're good, they can be very good. The Cowboys are starting one Mr. Kellen Moore. So I actually I checked this out, and there's actually a column up called Kellen Moore Knows Who He Is, and that alone gives him a chance. Kellen Moore is a terrible quarterback. He's awful. And I have an irrational hate for him. And I know it's irrational, but I hate it. I hate him so much. I really do. And it's not his fault. It was Boise. Boise was always this should be the national championship because they're beating friggin' School for the Blind or whatever, like 12 times a year. And I never really cared for Boise State, and he was the quarterback during the bulk of that era, and so that brought him down in my eyes a little bit. Anyway, he is terrible. He's going up against a good defense in Buffalo, and I'm gonna give you something right now. I'm gonna give you this is my prediction for the game. I'm gonna go above and beyond here. I'm gonna go ahead and say that the game, in true Cowboys fashion this year, game's gonna be pretty close. Defense is gonna keep him in it. And then in the fourth quarter, that offense is going to fall apart. And, they're not going to be able to put up points all game. And the defense may give up a couple of big plays, and they'll lose it late. They'll pull ahead with like 7 minutes left, and then they're going to lose it late. There's my prediction.
Hello.
Did you lose me for a minute there?
I think we lost you for a minute.
All right, I'm back. My question was, isn't Kellen Moore in the Dolphins Hall of Fame? Or am I thinking of someone else?
I think you're thinking of someone else.
I don't think Kellen Moore is in any Hall of Fames.
I do often confuse Kellen Moore with Dan Marino.
Yeah, it happens. It's that awesome arm. It's just that cannon for an arm.
It's when I go on to the Google machine and type in, you know, number of Super Bowls and quarterbacks with no Super Bowls and stuff like that.
Kellen Moore is the first face that shows up, is it?
I guess so. All right. We got all three of those. All right, fantasy picks. I'll get mine out of the way because I want to get it over with because I'm really afraid of John Brown, the receiver for the Arizona Cardinals, just has the look of the guy that could absolutely destroy us. And even while I'm saying that, I'm thinking of anyone else on their team. I know that we can probably shut down one or two that we game plan for, but there are just so many good receivers on this team that one of them is going to have a huge game. So why not John Brown in this case? The guy has been absolutely fantastic all year long for the Cardinals. I feel like I remember one game where he was just not part of the game plan. I think he had zero catches, and there was a huge uproar in the fantasy world, and Bruce Arians came out and basically said, I don't give a shit. We won the game. I don't care about your fantasy team. But that will not be this game. John Brown's going to go off. All right, Dusty, who's your pick?
Right, Kristen Michael for running back for Seattle. So as soon as they traded for him, I guess they grabbed him. Wait, is that right? Is that right?
They traded him away.
Hang on. Sorry. Hold on a second. But now he's back.
Now he's back.
Yeah. Okay. Cut that part out because that's what I thought. And then I started talking. I was like, oh, holy crap.
I am absolutely not cutting that part out.
Yeah, don't cut that out.
Here we go. All right. My pick, Kristen Michael for running back for Seattle. He came in and played very, very well last week. It was basically him, Bryce Brown, and Fred Jackson split in the backfield. Fred Jackson got no carries. He was basically back there as a receiver. Brown was on the field for, 23 snaps. And Michael was back there for 25. In those, he had 16 carries and 84 yards. Brown had 9 carries and 43. So he looked good. Seattle is a running team. They like to run the ball. The number 2 ranked rushing offense in the league, and they're going up against the Rams this week, who are giving up 118 rushing yards a game, which is good for 23rd in the league. So I think Michael's going to have, like, maybe not a bonkers game, but I think he's going to have a pretty good game. I had him early in the season, dropped him. Thomas Rawls did great, great things for me, and now he's gone, and then someone grabbed up Michael after I traded him. So I'm not happy about that, which means I'm probably going to go against him this week, and I'm probably going to get killed by him. So that's definitely the way to go.
All right. And Fred, your fantasy pick.
I am going to go with pretty much either of the Allens for Jacksonville, Allen Robinson or Allen Hurns. Initially said Allen Robinson, so I'll stick with that, but I think both of them are going to have big weeks, and they've had big weeks throughout the entire season. Jacksonville usually, you know, either coming from behind, so a lot more throws for Bortles. They'll be playing in New Orleans, which is a little scary. The Voodoo Dome gives me nightmares on a regular basis. But they are in the bottom 3 in pass defense, so I think if New Orleans does go up early, Jacksonville's forced to throw, a la Allen Robinson ends up with 10-plus targets for 150-plus yards.
All right. Very good. That about does it for us today. Before we sign off, let's get our final thoughts, and we'll start with our guest. Fred, what do you got for a final thought?
Well, my final thought is a cheers to my all-time favorite collegiate player as well as NFL player, Charles Woodson, on announcing his retirement at the end of the season. He has always been a dynamic player in every level of play, and when he came to Green Bay, it was a total dream come true for me. I was so happy, and he did everything I would have ever expected from him and more, and he is a complete Hall of Famer on and off the field, and I tip my hat to him and cheers to him for a overly stellar career.
Oh, man, I remember when we first signed him, I distinctly remember two conversations, one of which was a guy at work, and he referred to our new secondary with Woodson and Harris as the pick parade.
Nice.
Which totally came true. I loved that. Mm-hmm. And one that I found weird at the time, it was my brother-in-law who told me that he was so pumped because every time he would start a new franchise playing Madden, the first thing he would do, no matter what it took, would be trade for Charles Woodson, and his secondary was set.
I did that as well.
I did that as well, so that is, he is a cool guy in my book.
Oh, he is a cool guy. But I remember thinking, like, wait, is that why you like him in real life? Because Madden's different. Well, then it turns out that Madden's not so different, because everything that Charles Woodson can do in Madden, he has done in real life. All right, Dusty, final thoughts.
My final thought, I'm gonna end on a bummer. So today or yesterday, I believe it was today, they announced that Ty Montgomery was put on IR for the year to make room, or they made room for Andrew Corliss was put on the active roster. I love Ty Montgomery. I loved him in college. I love that draft pick. I remember as like after he was picked that next day, I had a conference call. Or that next week I had a conference call and I was sitting there on a pad of paper just doodling plays that they were going to run with Montgomery and Cobb in the backfield and just cackling like a madman at how the Packers were going to throw, like, just go no huddle and throw 50 points on everyone. And when he was in, I mean, he wasn't amazing, but the games he was in, he did make a difference. He had a couple of pretty nice games. I really liked what he brought him. They talked about how he was kind of built like a running back. Like, no, he was not. He was built like a wide receiver, but he could run like a running back.
Yep.
It was just his rookie year. He's going to be back, I hope. It was just an ankle injury. I don't think it was supposed to be this bad to begin with. So,
no.
So here's to Montgomery making it back next year. I've already started drawing up some more plays with no huddle, Montgomery, and Cobb in the backfield. It should be noted that when they did that, they broke that out, I think, for – 7 or 8 snaps at a time for about 3 games earlier this season, and they were lethal with that, just driving down the field. Both those guys on the field and then spread wide. It was very hard to stop that. So I'm looking forward to more of him in the future. I'm sad it's not going to be this year. I had hopes of him coming back late in the season, helping with the playoff run. So that broke my heart a little, but I'm excited to see. I think he's going to have a good career. Just sad this season ended so suddenly, but just ended so abruptly for him. That makes me sad, but looking forward to your career, fella.
Well, here's hoping that Andrew Corliss can come in and have a positive impact on this group of tight ends, because Lord knows we need a positive impact on this group of tight ends. All right, my final thought. I want to give a shout-out to a unit that is not getting enough talk. The Packers' offensive line this week didn't look so good in the running game, but in the passing game and the pass blocking, they were just fantastic this week. And the talk all week was, how many sacks is Khalil Mack going to have? How is he going to victimize us this week? I believe the guy had 1 tackle and 1 sack. And that sack was no wide receivers open, Aaron Rodgers holding onto the ball for 5 seconds, and Mack eventually wore down our offensive line. And that was early. And he just did nothing the rest of the game, and neither did anyone else on their defensive line. Aaron Rodgers had all the time in the world yesterday. Unfortunately, all the time in the world is not enough time for our wide receivers to get open. So, kudos to an offensive line that played very, very well and did not get enough credit for it. All right, that does it for today, for this week. And everybody, you need to remember to smile. There are a lot of negatives to talk about, sure, but end of the day, the Packers are in the playoffs for the seventh straight year. We're more than likely going to win this division. There's just so much to be happy about. Just be happy. That's all I've got to say. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go. Pride and glory, baby.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Card.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers. Yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice. Hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.